For thousands of years, tortoiseshell has been harvested around the world, mostly from hawksbill turtles, because they have beautiful shells. The trade was finally banned in the 70s, but by then the hawksbills had become critically endangered and were dangerously close to extinction. The northern Great Barrier Reef is home to one of the few remaining large populations in the world of hawksbill turtles, but scientists fear they're losing the battle to save the species. The latest research suggests 90% of hawkbills could disappear within 4 years. Kristen Hoff is the spokesperson for WWF Australia, which has been involved in this research. Christine, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Before we go any further, I mean, I know some listeners will know what a hawksbill turtle looks like, but can you give us a bit of a sense of it? Describe the hawksbill for us.
Absolutely. A lot of the turtles that people see in their backyards when they're out fishing in their boats along coastal areas are green turtles. They're not too dissimilar, a little bit smaller, and they have wonderful, beautiful scutes. That's their shells, and they have a beak-like head on the end of their head. So hawksbill turtles often get confused, green turtles, but they're definitely there in your backyard, and they're definitely there on your coral reef.
And roughly how big are they?
An adult can grow to around 80 centimetres in length in terms of their shell, and in comparison to other turtles like greens that can grow for more up to 120.
Okay, so quite big but not massive.
That's right.
Now, I've just said that the hawksbills become critically endangered. What does that mean in terms of numbers? What's the estimate of the hawksbill population? Do we have one?
That's a really good question. They're critically endangered at the international level, but only vulnerable to extinction in Australia. They, in terms of absolute numbers, we're not 100% sure. So we know that they're declining at 3-4% on the nesting beaches at Milman Island. And Milman Island here in the Great Barrier Reef is an index site. And what that basically means is that we can't actually go and monitor every single beach that hawksbills nest on. We can't monitor all the waters that they're swimming in and living in. So we choose an island or a place that is indicative and representative of that population. And Milman Island, 20 years ago, was indicated as to be the world's largest hawksbill nesting population. And unfortunately, it's in decline.
And why? Do we know why? Because I have read that the threat to the hawksbills generally is loss of foraging habitat, unsustainable take of eggs, poaching for the black market in the tortoiseshell trade. I wouldn't have thought that those elements were necessarily the problem in the Great Barrier Reef. What's threatening the hawksbill in the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, they face multiple threats, and we believe that loss of foraging habitat may still be an issue. Unsustainable take of eggs and poaching to supply that tortoiseshell trade is still happening.
And even in Queensland, though?
I think we need to understand the biology of turtles as well and where they travel. So hawksbill turtles that nest here in Australia, we have, the scientists know that they do travel over to Western Pacific and Melanesia, into Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, Solomon Islands, Fiji and Vanuatu. And the turtles that are nesting over there are travelling and foraging into Australian waters. So it's the big question is where is the greatest impact happening on those turtles at this point in time? And that's what we need to find out. And that's why we went and put some satellite transmitters on turtles at Milman Island.
So tell me about that. You've put satellite transmitters on two turtles, is that right?
That's right.
Ella and Lulu?
Ella and Lulu. And we hope this sparks a much greater conservation program around hawksbills. And at the moment, Ella and Lulu are travelling both down the east and west cape of Cape York. Mm. So they have nested in Australia and are foraging within Australia. And we obviously need a lot more transmitters to then use that science to determine where they're feeding and what threats they're facing there.
And are you trying to find out more about how far Ella and Lulu travel? And is that part of this?
That's right. We're trying to find out where they travel to and then where they're feeding. And a lot of all turtles around the world show a really strong susceptibility to their foraging ground. So when they get to a place to feed, that's generally where they stay. So we don't really know where the hawksbill turtles from Australia are travelling. But we have an indication of a few sites that we know, but in general, we're not sure where they're travelling outside of Australian waters and then what threats they're facing there.
It's 18 past eight. Speaking with Christine Hoff from WWF Australia about the hawksbill turtle, which is really endangered, in fact, in the Australian region around the Great Barrier Reef. We were just speaking... Just before you, were speaking with Carl Braganza from the Bureau of Meteorology, Christine, talking about this Indian summer, talking about the warming of our oceans. How sensitive are turtles sensitive at all to change in ocean temperature?
Absolutely. All turtle species, whole reproductive biology is based on temperature and climate change. They choose their beaches, and for millions of years have been optimally choosing where they're going to nest. You know, they rely on the beaches, and if that sea level rise reduces that available habitat for them, they're going to have to choose other beaches or other islands, which, you know, may be suboptimal. It's not the best place for them to nest. They also rely on the sand temperatures for determining the sex. So for higher temperature sands, we're going to end up with more females, lower sand temperatures and males. We don't really know what the sex ratio is required in the oceans. So if we're getting more females and less males, we obviously need males to reproduce, but we're not sure what that level is. And the sand temperature also, at 33, 34 degrees, means that the eggs won't actually even develop. So we'll have, die-offs in the sand as well. So it's very, very important, climate change around turtles.
So does that give us some clues about what can be done to try and slow down the process to extinction?
Look, climate change is a bowling ball running towards turtle species and the reef and our greater environment. And we really need to cap our degrees at 1.5. And
but more broadly, are there actions being planned to try and protect the hawksbill?
More broadly, we need to actually really put in a great conservation effort. We're going to call on a lot of groups, including government and community, and the great work that the Apuduma Rangers and Indigenous groups are doing. The scientists from the state government have been researching these turtles for 20 years, and we all need to come together now and actually work out what it is we need to do to urgently save them.
Christine, thank you very much for joining us, and good luck.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Christine Hoff from WWF Australia in Australia. The hawksbill is listed as endangered, and we'll, in case you're wondering, in case you still can't picture, we'll put a picture of the hawksbill up on our website. It's 20 past eight on Breakfast.